Well, this morning, our reading out of the gospel and reading for the sermon comes out of the book of Matthew in chapter 2. Now, initially, when I put together this worship service middle of December, I was planning on focusing just on the Epiphany, that moment in which the wise men came and visited the Christ child. But as I reflected more and prepared more, and looking at the whole arc, the whole story that's here in chapter 2 out of Matthew, I felt it was important to hear these words, especially at the beginning of a new year. I don't know about you all, but when I have started a new year or think about doing something new or have a goal or want to move forward in life, you know, like I might have that goal, that destination in mind, you know, mentally we start out, but yet because of our life, our experiences, the things that can get thrown in our direction, things that come up, we might find ourselves kind of ping-ponging around, maybe not following a straight line to that goal. And here in Matthew's gospel in chapter 2, I see the challenges that the Christ child faced early on. And so I invite us to hear these words from Matthew's gospel as we consider kind of those setbacks, but also, more importantly, the hope that can come through our God in moments that seem hopeless. So hear these words from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he had made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now in Matthew's gospel there in that chapter 2, it's a long story. There's quite a bit happening there in this moment in the life of Christ. It's a moment filled with highs and lows, moments filled with joy and outright evil and tragedy. When I look at this story and I think about the struggles that we face as we're trying to find our way in the world, as we're trying to find a way forward to experience that hope, that life, that promise, of being cared for by our God, the hope of that everlasting life by our God, it can seem impossible to experience that hope or that life when we're faced with the reality, the hardship, the brokenness that we encounter in our lives. Certainly, we could be up here and naming all the things that can get in the way, all the things that can go wrong in 2020. All the things that could go wrong for us personally, all the things that go wrong for us at school, or the things that could go wrong in our work, our farm, ranch, and even in our church. And certainly because of the hardship we faced already in life, just by our experience, it would be logical to do so. And certainly if we were talking with Joseph, if we were talking with Mary, they would understand that hardship, the difficulty, the pain that can be found in life. Even as hope has come into the world and we can see grace, we can see life, we can see that new beginning, especially in the Christ child. When I look at this story here, I see that traveling of the wise men, of how they had gone so long, how they had been on their journey, and they had reached Herod, and Herod by no means was a benevolent figure. He was indeed quite evil, as we heard from the text. And Herod, to me, flat out lied about wanting to pay homage to the Christ child. Because Herod would have seen the Christ child, the Messiah, our new king, as a threat to him and to his power. But the wise men did their part. They met with Herod, and then they went on. And in that moment when they found the Christ child, the one that they had pored over the prophecies, they had looked at the skies, they had seen, the heavens, align, everything that they had been working on and traveling to for all that time period was fulfilled. And they had that moment of joy, if I dare say even ecstasy, of worshiping the King, of worshiping the Messiah, and bringing those gifts fit for royalty. In that moment right there, Mary and Joseph had already gone through quite a bit, trying to have Jesus born. I mean, even going to Bethlehem and him being born in a stable and all the other hardships you'd face in life in this time period. And maybe they were hoping, we'd have a reprieve. Things are going to be great, or things are going to be fine. But then that dream came. That dream came of something terrible was coming. And so they fled. They fled to Egypt, fearing for their lives, and especially the life of Jesus. And I think about this moment here of how painful that would have been. Here they had wise men come from the East who made this journey. I mean, learned scholars, astronomers, philosophers coming, worshiping there with Christ. And now they were fleeing to Egypt. Certainly they might be doubting in that moment. Was their son indeed the Christ child? Were they following God as they should in that moment? But yet they were spared, great tragedy in their lives. And I believe this story actually is a more of a testament to the evil of Herod, of eliminating, all the children under the age of two. I mean, the great evil that Herod was, and really the great evil that was faced in the world in the time of Jesus, the tyranny that could exist. And that is not an easy thing to witness or hear about, or even read about in Scripture. But eventually they were able to come back, able to begin again, and move forward. And Jesus was able to grow up, become, you know, an adolescent, you know, become a young adult, and eventually begin his ministry. But there were these challenges in the beginning, challenges to that story. And why I emphasize this, I want to go really through this here is, in our world today, we like to focus on, you know, the end goal. We like to focus perhaps on the achievement, perhaps on having things a certain way, of living in a way that is, you know, grounded, you know, in that hope and that love of God, which is by no means a bad thing. But we sometimes forget the difficulty in getting there, the hardship that can happen, the heartbreak and the pain. What I see as hopeful in this story, though, is God being at work, God being at work and bringing about hope in the midst of that great evil, bringing about life when it seemed lifeless, that there was indeed a great beginning coming, that indeed this was the Christ child, the one worthy of worship, the one who would bring us life. And if you think a little bit further out, if you step outside of our story and go on into the rest of the life of Christ, as we have that benefit of history at this point of looking back and seeing, you know, we'll see too that Jesus throughout his ministry goes through these cycles of where things are going well and then they are not. People are making accusations about him, and then they are praising and worshiping him. And then he goes all the way from coming into Jerusalem heralded, on a donkey with palm branches, and it's just a few days later that he's executed on a cross. But then the resurrection comes, and we see that all those difficulties, all that pain is given a different perspective. We see that resurrection. We see that hope. We see that new beginning. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot we can be discouraged about in our lives. There's a lot we can get down about. When I think about our faith and what keeps me so grounded as a person of faith, keeps me grounded in the story of Jesus, it is this hope that comes. It is realizing that as we go through the heartache, the pain in life, the difficulty of the everyday, our God understands it because God, through Jesus Christ, lived through this pain. Live through difficulty, live through scorn, live through hardship, even lit through death, and yet show there is hope. I believe our God has great compassion and care for us when we face hardship and difficulty, because our God has experienced that through Jesus Christ. And knowing that compassion, that care, as we go through our lives, moves me forward. It gives me a fresh start. It gives me a beginning. It reminds me that when things get difficult or painful, or even those moments where I just kind of want to give up, our God is still there. Our God is with us and is carrying us forward. Even when it seems like there is no hope, there is still hope. Brothers and sisters, as we begin this year, as we begin with the optimism of a new calendar, as we begin with goals in mind, as we begin with our lives in mind, with living as the people God calls us to live, we know there will be challenges. But there, the hope is greater. The life and the love that comes from God is greater. And I believe we can ground ourselves knowing, yes, there will be challenges, but the hope we have as followers of Christ is greater than the difficulty, greater than the pain, because our God is with us. Our God of resurrection calls to us and reminds us of the everlasting life that is with us now and forevermore. Let's live into this hope now and forevermore. Amen.